Welcome to the Aussie Villains podcast as we look at our latest signing and answer your questions on the Aussie Villains podcast. Very, very exciting times. So to actually get a signing on board instead of seeing all the rumours is always a good thing. This is the Aussie Villains podcast.
Foxes as he's teed up to Vardy, is still inside the 18-yard area. Now it's Tielemans, it's a goal, and Leicester are in front, and it's Tielemans with his second goal in Leicester colours, a shot from outside of the 18-yard area. And slowly making his way infield, Maddison looking to curl a ball into Tielemans. There he is again, Youri Tielemans, his third goal since joining in January.
Here, cannons it against Cook, but it bounces back to Vardy. Cook was careful, the ball comes in, close range. Vardy scored the first and he's created the second as he ran across the...
Blocked by the defender. In again. And in. Youri Tielemans wraps it up for Leicester City. Right in front of... Nicely worked. Down the right-hand side. The cross comes in early. Touched on by Bard. It comes to Tielemans!
Guys, it's the Aussie Villains podcast. We've got an injury already. Rhino's down with, I believe it's drinkitis.
Something like that.
Something like that. But we do have myself, Paul. We have Tess.
Hello.
And we have the marvellous Spud.
Hey, everyone.
Here we go, guys. Today we'll be covering some listeners' questions. We'll be talking about the overnight signing of Tielemans. And just looking forward to something. Now, I'm going to put something forward to you that is going to get the podcast cancelled and possibly get me cancelled as a Villa supporter, okay? Are you willing to answer this question?
Do I get to answer it in multiple instances?
No, that is your warning, Tess. No multiples.
I'm willing to. Okay. Hit me.
Okay, here we go. You are given $10 million tomorrow, but you can never watch Aston Villa or listen to Aston Villa any format whatsoever, including highlights. There's no get-out clauses. You cannot follow Villa. Like, you can follow that, but you cannot watch or listen to them ever again. Would you take the $10 million?
Hell no. No. I couldn't do that, man.
My missus and kids would probably kill me, but now I wouldn't. I'd rather walk and feed them and watch Villa at the same time.
Yeah, I'd be bored sitting at home with $10 million, hey?
I'd have to take the $10
million. Oh, no way.
Now, it's not that I don't love, you know how much I love Villa, but I'm at that age. I'm a lot older than you guys. I'm at that age where I have to set my family up. Yeah. And Villa is my family, but my family's my family. So it's a question I wanted to put forward. We'll put it up on the Villa page. Someone
that's
obviously
such a good question.
$10
million. That's a great question.
Bank,
I just couldn't.
It's in your bank tomorrow morning.
I just couldn't imagine. Like, I'm 38 now. I just couldn't imagine the rest of my life not being able to watch a game. I just couldn't imagine it. Like, no, I haven't said that. Like, my kids would probably wonder, Dad, you could have like set us up for life. Like, and I'm like, well, we'll see when you're older if you got that option how you'd take it. So.
And now,
what about
now
when you see that goal? Like, you hear about that goal, like, you know the score because you can't watch it or listen to it. And then everyone's raving about this. And by the way, it would be really difficult to do that because social media, by the time like I've switched on to like tweet something, the goal's already like somebody's already put the video up. Like,
I understand. But look, I think it's one of those questions. I think you have to dig deep on this question and really, really think about it. And look, I've given my answer that I would take the $10 million. So I'm sure that anyone listening to this podcast will now say I'm not a true Villa supporter.
Probably not. Though some people will understand your answer too. Like, of course, like the $10 million is a lot of money. Like, but
yeah.
And there's people out there who think I'm mental for saying no, but I just couldn't imagine. Like,
that's what, yeah.
What would I do?
I love the question. I wanted to put it up as the first one on the
question,
pod.
Yeah.
So. Oh my God.
Guys, let's get into the... people are going to be excited about it. It's going to be still fresh by the time we get this pod out. absolutely stoked with the Tillemans signing. He was one of the guys that I thought we'd target, but I didn't think we'd get. Because free transfer, but big money on a weekly wage. Your thoughts? I already know your thoughts, but like for the podcast, your thoughts, guys?
Best part.
I'm over the moon, I think, that like for an opening business in the transfer market, what a signing, free transfer. Like if you think back to, say, when we went into the last day of the season against West Ham, needing to win to stay up, if you had told me like in a couple of years we'd be going into the Europa Conference with Youri Tillemans and Boubacar Kamara in midfield after spending zero money on them, you'd be like, whoa, that's just incredible, you know? Like the way the club is growing. I remember like we were talking before Christmas about transfers, and I remember I mentioned Youri Tillemans to you. I said if he could, because he was coming out of contract, would it be worth a little cheeky bid in January? But I said he's probably out of our reach. Like, I don't think at that stage, obviously, I didn't know we were going to Europe, you know. And I was saying he's obviously going to be going somewhere to Europe, a European club. Like, I just thought he'd be out of our reach. So, yeah, for me, I think it's brilliant. Like,
but just before you come in, Tess, I actually listened back to that section and I'm like, oh, I think we'll get Barnes, but Tillemans, I don't think we'll get. And you were like, no. To a European club.
Yeah. I mean, I remember thinking about it, because remember we were talking about, we were saying like he's got 6 months in his contract. It'd be, yep. It was around the time there was a lot of talk about Guendouzi, and we were saying like, well, Tillemans is like his contract's coming to an end, like, you know. But I genuinely didn't. I thought he was out of reach. I actually thought Arsenal or Newcastle were going to come in for him because
there was big talk. So over to you, Tess, because I do want to come back and just highlight to people some of the things you'll bring to us.
Yeah, look, there was talk about Tielemans at the end of last season going to a different club or a few clubs going in for him. And for me, I'm really delighted with the signing. I think he's a really, really good footballer. I found that, there was a lot of talk on social media about him not really giving 100%. But, you know, you look at what Leicester were going through. They were going through a bad period. They looked like they were void of confidence. And at the end of the day, that's why they got relegated. But he's a really, really good player. And you look at what Emery's done with the players that we currently have. I think getting him on a free signing is fantastic business, and give him the money that he wants if you're not having to pay a transfer fee. But he's going to improve under Emery in our squad, and I think he will fit perfectly. Don't know exactly where he's going to play, but I think it's a fantastic signing, shrewd business, and I'm delighted with it.
Well, I think he's going to... you guys are not going to like what I'm going to say here. I think he's going to take Buendia's spot. I think it's where he's going to... Not saying he takes his team place, but he's going to take his position on the field. Because even though he hasn't scored a lot of goals, he creates chances and he does score goals. So... For those who don't know about him, he started off at Anderlecht as a junior, was in their youth squad, played 139 games for Anderlecht, 26 goals. Off to Monaco, 47 appearances, 5 goals. He was loaned to Leicester at that period, and then Leicester signed him on a permanent from 2019. So he's also been in the Belgium setup since he was 13. So he's gone... I'm actually got... Belgium on my granddad's side of the family, so it's one of my international teams I follow pretty closely. But so he went 15, 16s, 21s, and has played 58 games for the Belgium national team as well, and is a current squad member. So I just think I was just looking up his age, and he's 26. I just think this is perfect. And I went and watched a lot of his highlights, and he seems to he definitely. Probably should score more goals than he does, I believe. But the ones he does score are such our system.
I hold my hands up. I haven't watched him, you know, this whole season, Paul. Really, I've watched a few games that Leicester have played, but you know, he looks like one of those players that are really comfortable with the ball and can do a number of things. I think he played looked like a deeper role, in the last season from when I watched him, anyway. And I don't know if that... Do you know, it reminds me of a little bit like how Douglas Luiz was when he was playing in that kind of deeper position. You know, he was capable, but not the best player in that position. You know, you put Dougie Luiz in then sort of number 8 position and he shines. And I think the same with Tillemans. I think if you put him in a position where he's used to playing, you got somebody who's comfortable on the ball, can pass the ball and can score a rocket from time to time. So, yeah, really good.
He scores with his head as well. He's won Belgian Professional Player of the Year. He's played in Champions League. He was the youngest Belgian to ever play. He was 16 when he played Champions League.
Yeah, Brandon, yeah, I'm going. And he scores big goals too. Like, he scored in the FA Cup final against Chelsea. He scored in the there was another big goal he scored as well for Belgium. Maybe in one of their playoffs, maybe.
Yep.
He's popped up some big goals. I think it'll go well as well. Like, I think what a lot of people are getting lost on too, like, it also allows us kind of a change things tactically in certain games. Like, he's never going to do it, like, he's never going to do it every week. But suddenly you can play a three in the middle now, where yes, you have McGinn, or sorry, Kamara, Louise, and Tillemans together, because Tillemans has been part of a three loads of times under Brendan Rodgers, where he's playing on the right side of a three in midfield. And, like, if you think about it, I think the main reason I think that he signed is because, one, I don't think Emery wants to keep pulling John McGinn back every time Kamara needs a rest, or he's out, or whatever, or Louise, you know, because ineffectively, we've said it a few times in the pod, you have to change two positions if you keep doing that, as opposed to just one position on the field being affected. Like, so that's one thing. If Kamara does get injured again, at least you have someone that can just slot in there, because I've always said I never thought he rated Dendonker. I think Dendonker was only played because Bailey and Kamara both got injured at the same time. And then I think also, then it allows you to play a three, but then it can also allow you to change to a 3-5-2 at times. And yes, like, people always talk that Emery never plays this. That is completely wrong. Emery's played that many a time against big games, against Barcelona and Madrid and that, where he's played. And if you think about the players available to us now, like, there's no reason now you can't see in the odd game here and there where we're trying to overload midfield, where you'll have Carlos, Konsa and Mings at the back as a three. You'll have Cash and Moreno, or Cash and Dina as your wing backs, and then you can have your Tillemans, Kamara and Louise in midfield as a three, and then you can put McGinn up behind Ollie for certain games. So, like, it allows you to switch things a lot tactically from game to game. It won't be our base formation, but it definitely allows you, especially going into big European games, you know.
Well, if what we said, or I said, I thought we'd get six signings before the season starts, so that's one down, right? I think you guys said three and four, maybe.
I said three outfield players and a keeper, yeah.
Yeah, and I definitely think there's going to be a keeper come in. I've got no doubt about that. We have to do that. But, guys, I also think that I just think the way he's signing these players, they're all a certain kind of player, and I'm just so excited. This really is the start of what we're going to see. And this guy's experience as a 26-year-old, to me, it's a winning. He's a winner. He's already won a couple of titles. He's played Euros. He's played World Cup. This is what is going to come to our club now. Yeah, this is so exciting. Like, it's going to make other players also want to come to the club.
What does it mean for financial fair play? Because as you all know, that I don't know that much about financial fair play, but because he came on a free, does that mean we would also be within financial fair play if we were to spend certain amounts of millions?
Wages are going to be big in the signing on fees as well. But that all plays into it. But Paul will know a bit more about it. Like.
Yeah, I think the free, exactly what Spudge just said, our free will be counteracted by the sign-on fees, the agent's fees, and he's going to be on a pretty big weekly pay amount as well. So it's not bad for financial fair play, but it's not going to be what people think. You know, oh, it's a free, we're fine. It's not. There's a lot of other fees that come into it. The transfer fee, as we all know, is a transfer between two clubs. So it just means we haven't paid Leicester, but then we've paid everyone else, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Leicester are the only ones losing out, really. Now that they're relegated, they're winning too, though, because they'll need his wage off the bill. But he would have left either way anyway, I think.
Oh, he would. You know, he had a cause to get out. But, his The fact that I can't see that Leicester ever thought they were going to go down, because the contracts that some of these players have got, where it's none of them have been in Leicester's favour.
They shouldn't have went down, though, Paul. Like, look at the squad they have. They should never have went down.
No way.
Like, there's some very good players in that squad. Like, it's weird how that works sometimes, where a couple of bad results here and there can suddenly sit you on a spiral. Like, you know. They're too good to be going down. So there's obviously other things wrong within the club like that. Like, you know,
I think, sorry, Spud.
Yeah, I just think, like, you've players there. Like, Patson Dak is a good player. Like, you know, like, you've Madison. Verdi, look, Verdi's pushing on now, obviously, but like, there's quality in that team. There was worse teams in that division, like quality wise, that stayed up ahead.
Yeah, quality wise, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think defensively as well. I think that's what their problem was defensively. I don't think they were that strong, but I think anywhere from midfield and attacking wise, I think they were actually really, really strong and too good to go down.
As much as I'm not a fan of him as a person, and I don't know him, I think Maddison almost single-handedly carried him this year, and you can't have that, you know. We had that for years, and it's not a good look.
I always try and have a look of, like, even like when Sanson signed for us and stuff, and I always try and have a look of what the general feeling in the club that the player's leaving before to get a good, like, grasp of who we're signing, you know? And, like, with Tillemans, like, you obviously, and you get that with some of the Villa fans along, we're like, oh, he dropped his tools, you know, no interest, the attitude's wrong, he wanted to leave with years. But then, like, you look at a few of the guys, like, who are commenting, and then you read a few of their previous posts over time, like, and see, are they just talking, are they actual football, do they have football knowledge behind what they're saying? Some of the comments they're getting about the midfielder that we're getting is unbelievable. Like, some are just saying, this player Villa are getting on a free, like, he is so good. Like, there was, like, a lot of them are saying that Leicester kept him against his will, that he wanted to leave 2 years ago, and they kept turning down transfer fees. Like, so a lot of that, I was reading up a lot of the comments from the Leicester fans. So some of them are a bit bitter, obviously, as you would be, you know, because they're gone down and they're losing players. But some of them are commenting saying, like, this is unbelievable business for Villa. Like, so hopefully he comes rejuvenated and ready to go, and it brings a bit of competition. It's suddenly Kamara and Louise are going to think, oh, no, we've got to go up a level again, you know.
Well, yeah.
You wouldn't want to be, you know, he's gone to Anderlecht, Monaco, Leicester, right? And he's now at Aston Villa, who are going to get better and better. He's 26 years of age. If he doesn't bring it, that's all on him. Because I cannot imagine a guy with all this experience in the Belgium squad, who are going to be around about the mark for the next few years. I can't imagine he's going to just go, no, I can't be bothered now. I mean, that's just not going to happen.
I mean, he's 26, so he's 26 years old, isn't he?
Yep,
so
26.
He's gonna be peaking, like, in football terms, 27, 28, that sort of time. So he'll be with us with that. And I genuinely think that it's a really good vibe in our squad at the moment. Emery's created a really good bond between all the players and supporters. And even if he was low on confidence at Leicester, a lot of them were. He's going to come to a club that's buoyed by making European football, had a really decent season. I mean, if you look at the start of the season with Emery, we'd be talking about competing with the Newcastles, in my opinion, for that top four spot, and Brighton and all those teams. So I think he'll come into the squad. He'll have a bunch of players around who are good positivity, good energy, and I think that will help him. And I think that we're going to see a decent player there for sure.
And there's an extra competition as well. So there's plenty of game time for everybody. There's no one needs to be shoved out in the cold if you're good enough, you know.
Well, let's go and win. Let's go bloody win an FA Cup. Let's win a league title. Let's push for everything, because I think in the last few years, our FA Cup form has been so bad.
Impressive.
I feel we've almost disrespected the competition, to be honest.
Yeah, I want to see. I mean, that's one thing for me. And as you guys know, and I was speaking to Rhino about it, like, the FA Cup for me would be a dream for Villa to win that again. I think it's just one of those amazing competitions where, you know, even the teams in the lower leagues get to compete to try and get a place and win it. And I'd really love to see Villa win the FA Cup.
So for any FA Cup final, are we going to roll a dice for Perth, Melbourne or Brisbane to watch it together?
We should
run an FA Cup final, mate. I'll be in London.
Oh, you'll be there. I'm
sorry, guys. I don't mean to abandon the bad, but I'll be in Wembley.
Yeah,
if we do, do you know what? I would try to do that flight.
You guys better help my health get better so I can travel. Yeah,
I would love to do that with all you boys. Go to London for an FA Cup final, and if we can't make it over there, then we meet up together. We go somewhere and we go and watch that FA Cup final. That's what I say.
Absolutely, let's do it, guys. In other news, congratulations to ZFC on their promotion to the Egyptian Premier League. So the Villa-owned ZFC were champions of the second division in Egypt, and they're in the Egyptian Premier League now, boys.
They have the Midas Touch, the V Sports group. They have the Midas Touch, mate. Everything they're touching is going up, mate. So it's good for the future.
Now, the other thing in that kind of international regards that I wanted to touch on, guys, is that everyone was laughing about Lionel Messi potentially coming to Villa. But don't tell me Martinez really, really didn't try. How I reckon he completely tried, because we all know that Messi is now at Miami. Is it Inter Miami? Miami,
Inter Miami, yeah. David Beckham's club, yeah.
Yeah.
And what an amazing effort by David Beckham over the past, you know, two decades to take that leap, put LA Galaxy on the international map. Their jerseys sold all around the world, every single place you went to, every sporting store, the LA Galaxy iconic top. And then his club's now one of the very richest in the US. And he's done it realistically with his management. What an amazing effort. And there goes my dogs, guys.
That's all right. He made a good decision then by probably getting rid of Phil Neville, because I don't think they were doing pretty good with Phil Neville. But if you're going to start attracting players towards the end of their careers like Lionel Messi, then I think there's a bit of respect and you try and find a coach.
What a league the MLS is, and their second division. Really, really getting huge crowds now. And everyone keeps saying to me they've got a massive population, but they're getting crowds that are similar to many leagues around the world. A lot of the clubs that were worth only a few million dollars a year ago are worth hundreds of millions. I've seen a lot of MLS. I've been over there, and it's a different experience, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can't say that I've watched any MLS, to be honest with you. Like, it's either just I don't get to see it on TV, but it's never, I don't even know who the teams are, to be honest with you. I know who went to Miami now that Messi's gone there.
You might have to get on my team. They're San Jose Earthquakes. So there we go. I'm a Quakes boy. I run a supporters group in Australia for them. So been to quite a few of their games over there because a mate lived there. That's the whole reason. And now my dogs will not be quiet.
Nothing wrong with that. They want to get involved in the talk.
A little bit more international stuff. West Ham winning the Europa Conference final and Man City overnight. And I don't want to talk about the charges against them. I just want to purely talk about the results. Brilliant results for those two teams.
Fantastic for West Ham, for me. I congratulate them because one of the things I was listening to, you know, I was thinking that David Moyes is one of those coaches that's a has-been sort of coach, the way he kind of, his style and stuff. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but that was just like my opinion. But I think it's fantastic West Ham have gone and won that trophy. I'm delighted for their supporters because the noise that they were making when they won was unbelievable. It gave me chills down my spine. And I was like, you know, next year, this could be Villa. This could be Villa next year. And you take that noise that those West Ham fans were making and then you double it because that's what the Villa fans will be like. So, yeah, congratulations to them. And congratulations to Man City for completing a treble. Congratulations to Jack Grealish. He left our club under circumstances, but I'm delighted for him as a person, as a player, to be able to go and he's left us and he's gone to do what he wanted to do, and that's win trophies.
Yeah,
your thoughts?
Yeah, look. Man City, look, I don't really care, to be honest. I was actually very impressed with Inter. I thought tactically they were very good. It was actually a really good game. I avoided the result and got up this morning and watched it, and it's a much better game than I thought it would be. There wasn't a whole wild amount of chances, but Inter actually, they done themselves proud. Like, they actually put up a very good performance, and apart from a couple of brilliant saves from Ederson, I'd say nearly over the 90 minutes, they were the better team, to be honest. I watched Grealish's interview after, and look, he's going to feel justified. He's won the treble. Like, he wasn't going to do that at Villa, you know. I was a bit disappointed he didn't give any of kudos to Villa, though. All his kudos went to Pep. There was no, I know he's emotional after the game too. You know, I mean, you can't take. I would never pick the bones out of that because he's probably trying to get his head around the fact he's just won Champions League too. You know, and he's probably trying to get away from the interview and get back out and celebrate. But all he said is thanks to Pep. I've worked so hard under him, and I just thought like a little mention. You know, a little. It was a hard decision to leave Villa, but look, I feel justified now. But they've helped me along the way. I thought that would have been a nice touch, but none of that game, you know. But yeah. He's going to feel justified, you know. He's won his treble, and fair play to him. Like, he deserves to be playing in that stage. But
yeah, I'm not excited for City to win it. I was just more congratulating the teams that we compete against.
I was more happy for West Ham to win it. I was happier to see West Ham win the conference than I was for Man City to win the Champions League, I think, because it was inevitable Man City were going to win the Champions League eventually. Like, you keep trying they're not going to go into money and stuff. But if you keep building your squad at that level, eventually you have to win it. Eventually, you have to. It gets the but West Ham. What West Ham done, I thought was incredible. Personally, I thought it was, and they had a tough game against Fiorentina. Like Fiorentina were the better side for that. So to win it with a 97-minute goal, and I just think the fun around. I don't know if you know my test. You know, have you heard of Danny Dyer?
Yeah.
Of course, we've heard of Danny. Yeah.
And I think it's because obviously Jared Bowen's going out with his daughter, but it's funny. I was getting on board with the whole song chanting and stuff.
Right? Well, Danny Dyer's daughter's name is Danny as well, isn't it?
Yeah, she's Danny with an I. Yeah.
I used to watch the worst shows on YouTube ever. They were the Danny Dyer where he goes around.
Real Football Factories International.
Yeah. I actually went back and watched a couple of them last week to see how bad they were. And God damn, they're funny. Where he walks out of a pub and he's looking around going, I won't do his accent because I can't. Yeah. Walking around going, I could be in trouble here. I'm going from one lot of ultras to another lot of ultras. And if they find out, geez, it could be in for me. And you just look at it and you go, it's a bit of fun, but it is glorifying that era, isn't it? That era of the casual fighting, isn't it?
Must be unbelievable though for him. Like, you know, like he's been like since I think he's like a season ticket holder since he was seven. Like, so like, you know, being a season ticket holder all life, never seen him win a major trophy. And then suddenly like your future son-in-law is scoring a 97-minute winner for the club you love. Like, must be unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely. So great shout out there. And no, I've got to admit, you know, watching those Football Factory shows and everything, God, it's funny. They're so bad.
More thing I'd like to say about watching West Ham win in the conference, though. The one thing I was just thinking to myself, if David Moyes can do it, then absolutely 100% Unai Emery can do it with Villa.
Spot on.
But Emery's a proven winner in European football, so I don't know if he's got this trophy yet, but maybe he's going to get it.
Yeah, it's just another one to add to the collection, isn't it?
Yeah.
we asked a question during the week, and thanks to the 173 people who responded. That's honestly really nice figures there. We said, let's see what you would like for the next 5 years. So we're not saying what would happen, rah, rah, rah. We're saying, what would you like? It was a really tough one, and you can tell by the answers in the end. We put up Champions League qualification each year. So you get Champions League qualifications each year. You get the Europa League title times two, guaranteed, or you get the FA Cup title times three. So I'm not sure if you guys voted on that. So you get the Champions League qualification each year, but you don't necessarily win anything. You're guaranteed the Europa League title twice in the next 5 years, or you're guaranteed the FA Cup title three times in the next 5 years. Yeah, what did you guys
I voted on that, and I voted I would take the two Europa League wins straight away, because I think that would, one, guarantees you two trophies, and then it also guarantees you at least twice entering the Champions League in the next couple of years if you win the Europa League twice.
Yeah, I love that rationale. What about you there, Tess?
Yeah, I was going the same. And also, I think if you win the Europa League as well, you get to play in the Cup winners, don't you? The Super Cup or something, don't
Super
you?
Cup, if you win, yeah.
Yeah, so you get the opportunity to play another final in the Super Cup. So, yeah, I went with the two Europas.
I went with the three FA Cup titles, because just to win one would be glorious for me, but to win three. And it was just one of those things. And even after all those results, here was the breakdown. 35% wanted the Champions League qualification each year. 34% wanted the Europa League titles. And 31% want the FA Cup titles. So it just shows how much it all means to us.
It was close. I'd say that's probably the closest vote we've ever had as a point. Yeah. No, things are really close.
So we'll get that one up about the $10 million. Let's see how honest our supporters are. You are guaranteed $10 million in your bank tomorrow morning when you wake up, but you can never in any format watch. You can get the results. You can never watch Villa nor listen to any Villa again. $10 million tomorrow morning is sitting in your bank account. But the caveat is what I've said. No ways around it. You can't cheat and go, well, da-da-da-da-da. I just think that'll be it. I'm really looking forward to see what people's answers.
If you asked me 7 months ago with Steven Gerrard sitting on the sideline, I'd be a millionaire.
I'll take it.
I would have taken $10.
But it really is one of those hypotheticals, I think, that rips at you, because Villa is like your family as well. But I'm at that point just with health and other things where the money for me to set up my family would just be too much. And do not think I don't love this club, though, people. My God.
It's a fair statement, though. Like, you know, like, I think it's fair for your personal reasons. For me, though, like, it's... Football's my life. Like, football's part of my life, you know, like, and, like... Sometimes, you know, we get the opportunity to watch whatever we want here in Australia, whoever Premier League team, or there's avenues to watch all the Champions League or whatever it is. But, you know, like, I look forward to every single week watching Aston Villa. I know that I can watch Aston Villa win or lose. I can watch, and I've had a lot of watching of losses and terrible games where I just want to switch it off. And I can't switch it off because I just want to watch every single game. And I couldn't imagine going through the rest of my life not being able to see a goal or see some great, you know.
Don't think it wouldn't destroy me, mate, but I put $10 million into the, if I put even $5 million in the bank with the recession coming up at 10%, that's $500,000 per year, I'm going to drink a lot of money to drown those sorrows. I drink a lot of that money to drown those sorrows out.
I wouldn't be able to do it. I'd have to, like, to not be able to watch a goal or anything. I'd have to go and live on a desert island on a boat somewhere and, like, fish every single day or something and just, like, forget that football exists.
Let's get away from this question for a minute because I'm starting to make myself really sad and sick. but I'm going to post it this week. I think it'll be a great question. Okay.
And so be honest, listeners. You have to be honest now.
please be honest about it. It doesn't mean you're not a Villa supporter. It really doesn't. It's just, I think it's a great hypothetical. Talk about questions. We, on our Aussie Villains Twitter page and Facebook, we do put a lot of questions up for the podcast. Smithy1874, one of our regulars, great man.
Hey, Smithy.
On you, Smithy. Not Villa related, unless some of the Villa players get game time, but are any of you going to watch any of the Women's World Cup games or maybe get tickets for any of the games? So I'm going to ask you guys first.
Yeah, I'm actually looking this weekend to see if I can catch a couple of games in Brisbane. I know England are playing in Suncorp in one of the games.
Who are they playing against?
I can't remember. Okay.
Look it up. I'm going to go to that game and wear whoever the opposition is, I'm going to wear their shirt to the game, okay?
I'm going to tell the bouncers not to let you in.
Oh, you won't. Hey. It is Suncorp, mate. It's my home, not yours. What about you, Spud?
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to the tournament. Ireland are playing Canada in Perth, which is very good. So
fantastic.
I've got two, me and my best, one of my mates from home, from my hometown that lives over here. There was 10 of us came over originally when we first moved over. All young, free, single lads, and it's only the two lads that met the Aussie women that stayed. So the two of us are here now. So the two of us have kids, and we got two adults. Tickets and two kids' tickets to take our daughters. Now that'll be their first game. So Ireland, Canada, and Perth on the Wednesday night. So I'm looking forward to that because Canada are quite a good women's team as well. So this is the first tournament Ireland have qualified for, but they've been growing the sport in Ireland quite a bit. So it'll be just nice to take them to that. They're also playing Australia. Ireland are playing Australia in Sydney, and I'm not sure which stadium it was, but they had one of the stadiums, but they did not anticipate how many tickets would be sold because there's obviously a massive Irish community in Sydney as well. And obviously the Australian Matildas are massively followed. So they actually had to upgrade the stadium by 30,000-seater stadium. So they've gone up. They're absolutely smashing it in Sydney. I'm looking forward to it. If Ireland do progress to the semis or the final, I'd definitely head to Sydney for it. But at the moment, I have tickets for Ireland and Perth and Canada.
I think it's going to be exciting as well. I think you can take a family of four for like $60 as well, which is amazing.
We've got tickets for the Matildas versus Nigeria game on a Thursday night. And I'm going to go, obviously, to the England game and Barrack against them. Because it's the Aussie Villains podcast. We've got the Ashes coming up. But I'm super excited. I've got a long history of working in female sport and coaching female sport and mates who coach a lot of female sport as well. I was a Brisbane Roar member from day one. And I've been to almost as many of the women's games as I have the men's. So I would not miss the Matildas in a World Cup for love nor money. And I think we got six tickets, so for around $100.
Oh, my God, steal. Yeah,
and there's not many tickets left for the Brisbane game, the Matildas Nigeria. So I think they're going to get 40 to 50,000 for that game.
Ireland are playing Nigeria and Brisbane as well.
Yes, they are. Yeah, and I am thinking I'll probably go to that as well. I just think it's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing.
Do you reckon it's going to be the most tickets sold any World Cup and Women's World Cup in history? There are over a million tickets sold already, so...
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't imagine it's not going to be. And I think it's going to take a lot of people by surprise. I was talking to people over the weekend going, oh, I forgot the Women's World Cup's on. It's only, you know, it's not far away. But, you know, for me, I wouldn't miss it for the world. So really, I had to hold back on that. But I also had an affiliation with some of the players. I was very lucky enough. One of my best mates, his daughter is Hayley Razzo. So I've seen her, you know, playing at Palm Beach since she was a junior and watching her. I think she's a great story of what people don't realise with female sport. At one stage, Hayley, just an example, she would have been on less than $30,000 as a professional sports person. And then it burst into America and she went over to the Portland Thorns. And that's the Portland Timbers of the male team. But the Portland Thorns were getting $30,000 a game.
Wow.
And then I've got a couple of their tops. So I was lucky enough that Hayley got a signed top for me. So I know I'm just saying, I love the women's game. I think it is a game that really equalises well. It's very tactical when it gets to the women's game. And hey, Australia's got the best female player in the world.
Yeah, and that shouldn't be lost on the Australian people. Like, they should be proud of that. Like,
She scored the FA Cup winner against Man United.
2 years in a row, she scored the winners in the FA Cup final.
And you know what was really funny? I listened back to the UK versions of that final, and I just thought the Man U players were pathetic. They were like, oh, we tagged her out of the game. She didn't do anything. She scored the effing winner. It was really poor sportsmanship from the... I know they were still playing for the title afterwards. So I listened back and I thought it was really shitty sportsmanship from the Man U players.
Ireland's left back, Katie McCabe. She's after... She was the... Wolfsburg and Barcelona played in the Women's Champions League final. So yes. When the Champions League team of the year came out, 10 of the 11 players were from Barcelona and Wolfsburg, and Katie McCabe was the only non-Barcelona Wolfsburg player to make the Champions League team of the year.
Wow.
She's been left back further. No, yeah, she plays for Arsenal.
I was about to say, for Smithy, yes. I think you've heard from us. We're excited about the World Cup. Yeah.
And it should be. I'm just looking forward to bringing my daughter. She's six now, so she's at a good age. You know, because Ireland are known for their support of any sport. Like, if a sports person in Ireland does well, like, they're so good to travel and jump. It doesn't, even if they're not into that sport, like, Ireland have no interest in cricket. Ireland do well in cricket. They start going to the games and start travelling to tournaments with them. They're just, the Irish naturally support the people, probably because they love the piss up that goes with it, I suppose. But I'm just looking forward to bringing my daughter to shore, like, you know, like, because she loves dancing and stuff like that. But I want her to see, like, that, you know, because she always says to me, I'll be talking to her about Aston Villa and stuff, you know. She's like, oh, just wait till Ali's older, Dad, and you can enjoy it. I'm looking forward to showing her, like, that women are into soccer too, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
I can't wait to take my daughters to the to this game as well to show them what it means as a female sports person. It's going to be really amazing. I love that. I think if you can see it, you can do it.
I like as well that the women are fine. They're going to have the complete focus of all the supporters this time. Is, you know, like, the Aston Villa women are doing really well, and you know, they are, but they're still the Aston Villa women's team as about, like, just as a side to the men's, like, and that's sad, but that's just how it is, like, within the club. Most of our focus is on the men's team. But like, when you go to a women's World Cup like this in another country, every supporter in that ground is there to see the women's World Cup.
Absolutely. And I love the differentiation from an Australian point of view. We've got the Socceroos and we've got the Matildas. And the Matildas have been a shining light for us in the last few years. So
I was impressed when I moved to Australia, though, Paul. Like, they do a big focus on women's sports here, like, towards what I've been used in Europe. Like, obviously, you're starting to catch up now, but I moved over here 14 years ago. And I was impressed. Like, the women's sports has been big here for a long time now.
Smithy asked another question here. Another one for the podcast, if I may. Fixture is out on Thursday. Who do you want first game, last game? I want us to be at first home game, maybe against Luton, and last home game, Man City for the title. I love that. I'll just start this one. I don't care who we play first and last, because unlike a lot of other codes around the world, you play everyone in your competition twice. So I'll hand this one over to you guys, because we just play everyone home and away, so I don't care.
I'll be honest now, what I would love, if I was given the fixture list to make myself, I'd love to play at St. James's Park for the opening day of the season and us beat Newcastle up there, because after losing 4-0 to them and then we beat them 3-0 at home, every time that conversation comes up, they're able to throw up the 4-0 away, and they're very cocky about it. So I'd like Unai Emery to show that he can beat them up in their place too, because we couldn't under Aaron Danks. And then I'd like to finish with going into the last day of the season at home. We have to play Man United. The winner gets the final top four spot.
Beat them. Yes.
That would be my dream home and away now, to be honest, to start and end of the season.
Over to you, Tess.
Yeah. I went with Brighton first. Don't ask me why. I just felt like it was a game that next season we'll start to see where we really are. And I thought Brighton were one of those really great teams this season, progressively improving all the time. So I'd like to see Villa play away probably to Brighton, first game of the season. And end of the season, last game of the season, has to be at home at Villa Park. And... I don't know. It's a really tough one. I was going to go with one of the teams that are likely to be in the bottom three, but that would be kind of cheating. So someone like West Ham, the Claret and Blues at Villa Park last day of the season, and they won that trophy as well. So,
I like it. I, as I said, I should care, but I just don't. I think we're going to play everyone twice. So, okay, over to our chat group, the Aussie Villains podcast and Villa Chat on Facebook. And long-time listener and really good supporter and ask questions, Omar Hashi asks, now, is this from the last one? Yeah. Legend or not, there is no doubt Ashley Young departs our club a hero. On the flip side, in your opinion, are there any villains that won't be remembered with affection? I think a certain player who went off to Newcastle is not going to really grab a lot of love from
He means from the current squad though.
Maybe Coutinho, maybe. I mean, when I say affection, it won't be disliked, but it'll be kind of like whatever. If Coutinho leaves, it won't be too much affection that I'll have, unless he means that it's almost a dislike. But I think Coutinho, Dendonka, I think some of those guys, they did what they had to do, but I'm not going to be like, oh my God, they're gone.
My answer to that would be, I would imagine 95% of Villa fans would drive Robin Olsen to the airport themselves. So Robin Olsen would be my answer.
Well, you'd have to drive him, because even if he walked, it'd take 16 years.
Robin Olsen would be my answer, Omar.
Yeah, my answer to that would be probably Dendonka. I felt like Dendonka was one of those desperate signings, just to bring a face in, because we weren't able to successfully get some other targets. And I just don't feel like he's fitted in my opinion, to what the Villa supporters like. What the football culture is like at Aston Villa, came across from that team across in the Black Country there as well. So my answer would be Dendonka.
I think he had a really good last few games and did what he had to do. But I don't disagree with you there at all. Should I go a controversial one?
Go.
Just to piss people off, because it's kind of what I do. And I know you guys always... quite squint your eyes when I'm going to say something like this. And everyone's going to hate me for this, but I might as well, because I've already sold my soul for 10 million. Leon Bailey, I won't be shedding a tear if he does leave, and I don't think he will.
I think that's a fair call. I think that's fair call. I don't think you're I don't think you're too far stepping out of the mark there. I think if someone turned around and gave Villa 20 million, most Villa fans would say, all right, fair enough. I don't think he's going to leave, same as yourself. But I don't think anyone particularly dislikes him, but I think if he was sold in the morning, I don't think the Twitter would be up in arms or anything like
that.
Long time listener, Chef Donishy, Josh, has asked, is Tillemans yes or no? This was a day or so ago. He said, me, it's a yes all day long. Well, giddy up, Josh, because he's on board. You would have heard that earlier in the pod. So you really wanted him, and Villa listened to you, Josh. So serve up that meal on a platter for you.
Yeah.
Predict the future, Josh.
Back to Smithy again, another one. And I know we've got a couple other questions in different formats, but over the years, players have left because the manager at the time didn't think they were good enough or just unsuitable. With the development of this Villa team, Emery has shown that it's about coaching and understanding of the process. Okay, Smithy, this is good. I'm loving it. Do you think Nakamba and Sanson will play a part next season?
No.
Would save us a lot of money?
Nope.
I'm going to say no, Smithy, because, and the reason I do, if Emery had come in November and we got straight into a season and then it just rolled in, I would have said, oh, maybe he'll have a look at them in pre-season. But the fact that he almost had a pre-season with the two of them out in Dubai for 6 weeks and the World Cup was on and he had a look at them and they played pre-season games from. And I know, well, Nakamba was straight out the door. So I think Nakamba's a definite no. And I think Luton will definitely sign him anyway. They'd be mad not to with their promotion. He was probably their best player after. But Sanson, Emery said himself he wanted to keep Sanson, but he couldn't promise him any game time. So, yeah. My answer would be no. I think Sanson's going. We just signed Tillemans as well. Sanson's hardly going to think, all right, I couldn't get him beforehand. I'm coming back for game time. So I think we'll cut our losses on. I think we'll be happy to get anything for Nakamba. And I think we'll take a little hit on Sanson just to get the wages off.
I agree with you guys. Just interestingly, having a look through Marvellous's career, he's. In his last three clubs, he's got to over 50-odd games and then kind of flamed out. So at Vitesse, he got 69 games. At Bruges, 53. And at Villa, 58. And surprisingly already, I was a little bit surprised about this because he also had some injury concerns. But he got 17 games at Luton already. So hopefully he can play there for two or three years and get up a century somewhere. Honestly, I'm saying that I'd be really happy for him.
Yeah.
To get a century of games anywhere would be amazing. So...
I think he said himself, you know, when they were celebrating getting the promotion and stuff, that they asked him if he'd like to stay and come back. And I think he said that he'd love to. So, that would be probably a good move for him.
It'd be a good move. And I think a last kind of payday for him as well, because he is 29. And I think if he can get, you know, I think Luton are going to really find it very tough to stay in the Premier League. Anyone coming up will. And I can't see them getting a ton of signings. It's a beautiful story. I think they're one of the three that'll go straight. I think they'll go straight back down, but I hope I'm wrong there as well.
Yeah, and I think Nakamba, like we're saying, it's a good move for him. It's a good move for them too, because you're not going to have to spend a lot of money. He has Premier League experience. I just think, and if they go down, he's not going to expect big wages. And again, they know what they're getting when they go back down to the Championship. And if I was them, I'd be throwing the house at Ashley Young to sign for them, because I think that's the kind of experience they're going to need going up as well.
Mm.
Well, just had a quick look. And Luton today and Birmingham Mail both have got similar lines about Emery opening the door for them to for him to stay at Luton and so forth. So, look, we don't wish him any bad. We wish him all the good. But not too much good when he plays us, please. I hope a couple little mistakes.
It'll be his first Premier League goal ever. Absolutely guaranteed. I'm sure of nothing else.
He
never scored a goal for Villa. He is going to score a goal against Villa.
No. He's going to slip over. It's going to come off his hip, in for an own goal. We win. There we go. Off his hip,
Agent Nakamba.
Yeah, it's nice to see him doing well, though. I'm glad he was doing well for himself, because he always gave his effort for Villa. He just wasn't good enough for that level.
Look, I think if he's in the starting 11 for Luton, I think they're going to have the year that many of us probably suspect they will. I think they'll find it pretty hard. And look, I hope they do well. Please don't think I'm having a go at them, but I think they'll really struggle in the Premier League. I can't see them getting enough good signings. They're not going to do a Forest and sign 57 players randomly.
No.
Yeah, but it's so good that they came up, because the Premier, that's what the football pyramid is about.
Absolutely. Okay, let's go and have a look. We had a question here. Well, it's from another page, but you've got it in here as well. We've got Sir Barry White has asked a question here. The players that Unai has The players that Unai has have got us to be the third best team since he took over. I understand what he's saying there. Ultimately, anyone we sign should be a starter. Who do you see being benched? I know it'll be a rotational squad, but the strongest 11 will see some of the present players miss out for argument's sake if we get into a final. Well, we've only done the one signing so far, guys, but I do see a player who I think will get less game time and won't be too happy as the season goes on.
Who's that?
I think it'll be Brondia.
Interesting, because, yeah, I mean, he was left out for quite a few games, wasn't he, towards the end?
Mm.
And Ramsey was playing and doing a really good job as well. He's got that injection of pace, Ramsey, doesn't he? He's got good with the ball, carrying the ball forward and all that kind of stuff. Brondia is really good in terms of, like, his creativity and stuff, but I felt like there was something that was missing as to why he was not starting for the last few games. And yeah, possibly Buendia. Maybe there's going to be a change. I don't know what's going to happen with Coutinho, and I think the club will try to cash in if they're able to get rid of the kind of wages that Coutinho's on as well. So yeah, it's a really tough question. Can we ask that question after we've made a couple more signings?
Yeah, I think that's the really relevant point, Spud. I'm really interested in your thoughts. I think when we see a few more signings, we'll revisit that question. Because
but I think that's taking the easy route. I think he's asking our opinion. Who do we who does Emery see? Who do we see?
Okay.
I think that's what he's asking.
Maddie Cash, Buendia. If we're getting more kind of signings, I think we're going to still keep obviously that core back line, but I definitely think Maddie Cash. We should cash in on Maddie Cash, for a lack of a better term. I think he's right now good money for us. If you're talking about a starting 11, if we can't cash in, he'll be a rotational player, and definitely Buendia, and certainly Bailey. Bailey won't get as many starts as he did last season.
Maybe Konsa as well.
You're going to have to bring in someone darn good.
Oh, big shout, Tess. Oh.
Yeah,
especially from someone who's been such a supporter of Konsa.
I love Ezri Konsa. But if they're, I just have a funny feeling that they're going to be looking into the market for another central centre half, centre backs.
They're hard to find in the modern game, mate.
They are, but you know, I just feel like I feel like he'll bring another centre back in, because we don't know what Diego Carlos is going to be like at the moment, do we? And I mean, he's going to be ready to play. He's got a lot of experience in Europe, doesn't he, Diego Carlos? Maybe if they sign another defender, that person's also going to have a lot of experience in Europe. So
that's a tough answer,
Chris.
I like the
door on
that one, though.
Oh, man.
It's been so good. But it's been fantastic. As we always say, though, Tess, like, just because Emery's got the best out of these players, it doesn't mean they're necessarily the players he wants. So,
yeah.
You know, he just knows how to keep them on board. So it could very well be Konsa. We don't know. Like, just wanted to say there as well, Sir Barry White is from a Facebook group called Forever Villains. I share it to the group every week, and we're starting to get more and more listeners from that group. So I just wanted to give that Forever Villains Reborn Facebook page a shout out. It was one of those Facebook lads. I'll tell you how I ended up on this Facebook page. Was around that time when Dean Smith was having that bad run, and they were on about the sackings, and the negativity on a lot of those Facebook pages was really, really annoying. Like, so I just made the decision when Smith was sacked that I was going to just leave most of the real negative Facebook pages just when Gerard took over as manager, and just try and focus on the positive. Like, but I stayed on that Forever Villain page because it's one of those ones where the administrators, there's three of them, Steve, Debbie and Sarah, and they really try and root out. No, they won't stop people from having their comments, but they try and root out a lot of the bullshit that goes behind it, the arguments, the aggressiveness, and they really run it as a good Facebook group for a chat and people's opinions. Okay. Oh, obviously, a little bit of it gets through. So I just wanted to give that Facebook group a
what was that group
note. So it's the Forever Villains Reborn. It's a really good Facebook page. If you like just the positive chats, because they do really moderate what goes on there, Sir Barry White is on that, and that's where that question came from. So I just wanted to give, and one of the things Barry said in his questions as well, he wanted the Facebook group to get a shout out because you know, it is a really well-run group. Like, for anyone that's looking to step away from a bit of negativity and just focus on the chat of football and Villa, then that's a really good page, yeah.
Well, okay. Admin, please let me in, because I'm gonna, when I get home, I'm gonna go in there for other villains, right?
Yeah, I'll invite you. I'll add you an invite. And I've been in it for a long time, and they're really good in there. And they do try and moderate as much as they can. I got really annoyed with some of the other groups. I had to leave, like some of the stuff that was going on. I remember like one, and this came from an admin, I'm not going to get into it, on another page. And I remember the admin himself posted a picture of Steve Bruce in a wheelchair saying, this is what we have in charge of us. And I was like, nah, I can't.
That
kind of thing. So I left that one, and then we moved on, and then Dean Smith started getting hammered on other ones. And I was like, this is not what I watch football for at all. Like, you know, so, and then I actually was for a while, page I was on, because it's actually really good. I've got back into a few more for their podcast reasons, but I never went back to those negative ones. So looking for a good page to be a part of. It's a really good one, Forever Villains Reborn.
Invite, mate. We'll be on there, and we'll put a link in as well. Guys, we'll just go on to that question. Spud, you haven't really answered it yet. And then I'll ask a follow-on question to that one for you.
For me, I think the biggest players under threat would be obviously Bailey. I think Bailey is the obvious answer, isn't it? Buendia, yes, I think so. And our right backs, I think Maddie Cash as well.
You agreed, Spud, have you agreed with me?
I don't think we're going to sell him like you think, but I do think his place could be under threat.
Well, I think for one of the first times in podcast history, Spud and I have actually agreed on something.
Yes.
So let's just go a step further, just to put you under the pump a bit more, which, you know, I love doing. What player in the current squad could be a surprise omission from starting squads next year? Now, so I want you to really think outside the box. If Emery does the kind of signings we're all hoping and wishing for, who could be the surprise? Now, you've kind of said it, Tess. You said Konsa, and I would, that would be a surprise to me. So you've kind of answered it. But who would be the surprise player for you who would be omitted from our starting 11 on a regular basis?
JJ.
We're talking about surprise ones. And why would it be JJ?
I think JJ, when JJ is good, he's absolutely brilliant. But when he is having a bad game, he's completely anonymous. And I think I'm only talking about starting lineup now. I'm not talking about, like, JJ will always have a role in this team, you know.
Spud, we're talking about a surprise. We're not talking about someone you believe. We're talking about the surprise.
I think JJ would be a surprise to most fans, though, because of the end of the season he had. I think his inconsistency may go against him at times. I think he's eventually going to develop into that player that we all know he can be. But I think over the next couple of seasons, I think if he doesn't hit that consistency soon, I think we may see him out of the side, especially with Tillemans coming in more than we were expecting.
And I want to reiterate to listeners, this was our surprise. So out of the box, out of the blue.
Yeah, it's not like, it's just who we think could be a surprise omission.
And Tess, you still go with Konsa on that one?
Yeah, I would go with Konsa, or if it's really a surprise, Watkins, if we bring in a striker.
God damn you! That was my answer!
Robin Owens think it surprises all, and Martinez will be on the bench next season.
You should have sounded the alarm, because you know something was coming from, like... Yeah, Konsa would be a surprise omission. But Ollie Watkins, if we bring in a striker, not that Ollie Watkins doesn't do the work. It's I have a funny feeling that if we do bring in a striker who's a proven striker, that perhaps Watkins still has an opportunity to play, but probably wide.
Oh, Tesco's not happy. You stole his answer after giving your answer. I can tell.
That was honestly my answer. I'm talking about us going to the next level, being a top four, top five club. We said this was a surprise omission. I agree with you, Tess. If we're going to go to the next level, the position I think would surprise people, but gloriously surprise people would be that Watkins is not a starting striker.
Yeah.
I think that would be the biggest surprise of all, probably. But
It does depend, though, doesn't it? Like, if we are able to bring a striker in that's proven, then I think it would be Emery signing, and not Dean Smith signing, who would take precedence. I think they're probably going to be looking at somebody who's a striker, who's a finisher. And consistent in terms of finishing and stuff. So, yeah, that That would be a good shout for a surprise omission.
I think JJ would be a big surprise because he's actually managed to step up a level to each manager that's taken over. He's actually hitting the remit. The thing he's lacking is every game consistency, you know? And I think if you're going to be competing. But again, he could turn out to be an unbelievable player. Emery might love him, you know?
Well, guys, you know, we were talking about the players we're going to lose. Obviously, Keenan Davis really hasn't been part of the squad for a fair while. Jed Steer's been very injured. Ashley Young's already left. Nakamba's almost certainly going to be at Luton. Sanson won't be there.
Courtney House is still on the books, isn't he? But end of the season finishes?
He won't be there.
I
think Keenan Davis is actually out of contract as well. So
I think the person that might surprise us, I think that Coutinho might stay because we can't get rid of him.
Hopefully Saudi Arabia offer him massive contract.
Yeah. That's the place to go at the moment, Saudi Arabia or MLS.
Yeah. Well,
I see. Just before we move on for the people leaving, like I just wanted to make a point as well. Like, you know, I see a lot of people on Twitter, like, and it's probably just recency biased, a bit of emotion too. So I'm not going to go too hard on them, but like, there's a lot of thing about Ashley Young leaving, and saying, "Oh, I can't believe we didn't give him another contract." Like, you can't want all these new players to come in, like, and then not want any of the old players to leave. Like, at some point they have to make room in the squad too. Like, you know,
yeah,
go to that next level. I mean. That's the reality of it. I'm not gutted about Ashley Young leaving. Like, I'm not at all. But look, I'm glad he got to come back and, you know, leave in good terms. But he's 38. There's better players out there, like, if we want to go to the next level. So, yeah, that's just my opinion. And if you want to be a club who have an academy pathway and want to sign bigger names, you have to make room for them at some point. You can have only a certain amount of people in your squad.
I 100% agree with that. And I think in the last pod, I mentioned that it would have been nice, though, to, you know, send off and let him know before that game that he's not going to be staying. So the fans can just say thanks, because he did have two pretty OK. Well, the last season was really good, in my opinion. But the season before, you know, he was useful and was good with the fans. And he was really good with the players in and around the squad. And it would have been nice to just say cheers, thanks, give him a clap off.
I think, sorry, Tess. I think he knew it was coming though, did he? Because I think when he done that tweet and he done that interview at the end of the game and stuff, like he made a point of saying he wants to stay. So for me, I think he might have known it was coming, and that was his way of letting the fans know that it wasn't his decision, you know?
Yeah. And fair play. Like, I think he was a good servant to the club over both periods.
And a good time. He came to us at a good time when we needed a bit of experience.
And he did that. And, you know, won some cheeky fouls and stuff, scored a couple of important goals. One of my favourite moments from Ashley Young was against Manchester City, where he made that dart and run back and just kind of nudged De Bruyne off the ball. But it was just one of those really nice, like...
Can I ask you, be honest, straight up and answer, am I on my own here? Do any of you think it was the wrong decision to get rid of him?
Oh, God.
No, I don't think it's the wrong decision.
No, I'm asking you, like, I'm not questioning myself, but I'm saying, because I haven't asked your opinion on it since he actually gone. Do any of you actually think it is the wrong decision?
No.
A lot of people do, and that's okay. I can understand that, like, because a lot of people are saying, like, he's so versatile, like, you know, he can cover a lot of positions. It might be a silly decision, but I don't know.
Not as we go forward, you know, like, he's been great for the club, don't get me wrong. We spoke about that in the last pod. I don't see him as a Villa legend. I see him as one of the very good players for us. But a legend is a very, very...
Yeah, not a legend, no. Not a legend, but a good servant to the club. Thank you, Ashley Young. You know, and he is 38 years old, and we do need some young blood in the squad. And we've got people in the squad at the moment who are experienced, and we've got quite a few people who are leaders in that team at the moment as well, you know. Specifically, obviously, John McGinn's turned out and taking the captaincy after a shaky period to start with. I think he's come on leaps and bounds there. Tyrone Mings is still doing what he does at the back there, isn't he? He's like still showing that he's a leader there. And even people like Douglas Luiz, you know, I'm a fanboy of Douglas Luiz, but even during the second half of the season, you see him screaming and shouting at people and telling people where they need to be and stuff. And he's been a fantastic player this season. So he's been shown his leadership skills. And I think Dougie was also the Brazil under-23s captain at one stage as well. So we've got leaders in the squad at the moment. So we don't quite need Ashley Young anymore for that kind of purpose.
Yeah. Guys, has there been any more questions that you've seen on any of our feeds or anything?
Yeah, I had one from a... it's from... give us a second. Sorry, guys, I'm driving at the same time as we're talking. But I'm not. I'm on a hands-free, and so
free.
I'm not...
Hands-free?
So it was from Ronan Ward on Twitter. Cheers, Ronan, for joining up and following the podcast. Really appreciate it. The question was, and I think we covered a little bit of these types of questions a bit earlier, but it was next year, which would you take? A bottom half finish and European Cup success, or top six and no cup run?
Good question.
Whoa. So I'll just repeat the question again. Next year in or next season, which would you take? A bottom half finish and European Cup success, or a top six finish and no cup run? Go.
I'm going to go first. I want to see us win a trophy. And because when you look at what West Ham done, they had a bad season, but they ended up with a trophy and they still ended up finishing, qualifying for the Europa League anyway, where all the top six finished anyway. So for me, if I was guaranteed right now that we'd be in Athens next season celebrating the Conference League, but it meant we'd finish 15th or 16th, I'd take it.
Yeah, I'll go the same. I don't want to finish 15th or 16th. That'll do too much.
No, of course I don't. But if that's what West Ham did, West Ham finished 14th and they won the trophy.
Let's talk
about winning trophies. That's what people remember. Like when you look at our history and people celebrate the 1982 and 1981 when we won the league and stuff. Yeah, I know football's changed. But when you're older and you want to look back, I was at that final, or I was, you know. It's not, I went to a game that season where we finished sixth. You know, just not. You want to
Mate, as you guys know, I follow a lot of different sports. And give an example, I waited 37 years to see Richmond win a grand final. And I was lucky enough to see 3 and 4 years, including being at two of the grand finals. And I wouldn't swap that for anything. If we don't win another grand final the rest of my life, I honestly hand on heart. Those experiences and to be at a grand final with my dad, who put me in a Richmond jumper on my first day on this earth to annoy my granny. He put a player on that she hated more than anyone. And he put her, Kevin Sheedy was a real tough nut at Richmond. And he put his number on my jumper just to piss off my granny, his mother-in-law. So I would not switch it for a day ever. Those three grand finals, if Richmond never wins another one, I just wanted one, and I was lucky enough to get three. So I totally agree. I've been a Miami Dolphins fan and a Knicks fan all my life, since I was about seven, and I've never seen them do anything. I've enjoyed following them, but I would give anything to see them win a Super Bowl or an NBA title.
Mm.
I was at a Brisbane Roar game where a grand final when I never thought we'd win one, 2-0 down, 116 minutes into extra time. We score one, and I'm like, oh, yeah, just my luck. We lose 2-1. And then on the last corner of the game, we score the equaliser and then win on penalties in front of the in front of 51,000. In fact, it was 44,000 because I think 6,000 or 7,000 people had left and couldn't get back in. I've seen Melbourne Storm win grand finals. I've been blessed. And I'm sorry to say all of that, but the reason for it is those are the memories. All the games in between are brilliant. They are, don't get me wrong, but those grand final memories are just unbelievable.
I'd agree. I'd cup success, man, every day. I think we talked about it earlier in the pod. You know, I'd love to see Villa win an FA Cup, but I prefer a trophy in the cabinet, to be honest with you. Rather than just being top six, I'd rather just have a trophy and put our names back on the board.
I'm not saying it's impossible, but down the line or whatever. But at the moment, Man City are so far out of reach of everyone. Like, the winning a league is just not going to happen it's just not going to happen. Not in the next few years, anyway. And for us, and you want to win a cup, you want to go to Athens, you want to go to Dublin, you want to go to London, Wembley, watch trophies, have that. Because football is more than just that 90 minutes, isn't it? It's that whole trip, going to the game, the whole day, the build up to the match, winning.
The breakfast, then the beers and the talking, the singing, everything that leads up to it.
Brings fans from everywhere, in for that final. And you can say, look, I'm sure if some there'll be supporters out there, if they listen to this, would think we're mad, like from other clubs, you know, but they're clubs that are used to success. And like, I always say this, like, I was like, I'd love us to win a League Cup even right now, like, you know. Man City have won like three of the last five League Cups, and they've won six trophies between the FA Cup and the League Cup in the last few years. Apart from their really genuine match-going day fans that have been to every final, if you were to ask many of their fans, I guarantee you many of them wouldn't even be able to name all the scorers in each of those finals. You know?
Do you think it also comes down to, I know this sounds really silly, and I look at teams like New England Patriots in the NFL. Do you think it all almost comes down to, with some of those clubs, a fatigue in winning finals? That your everyday success is nothing. It's lessened unless it's all or nothing. Because that's what it feels like for City at the moment. It's all or nothing.
Well, you only have to look at Wembley, like how empty it was, because the fans had to prioritise whether they want to go to Istanbul instead of Wembley, like, you know? And like, and because they've been to finals recently over the last couple of years, they were like, yeah, well, we'll just not go to the FA Cup final. We'll just go to Istanbul instead, you know? Like, I just don't think you're going to have that with Villa. I think if Villa were to reach a Champions League final and an FA Cup final in the same season, the fans will be at both.
Oh, my God, but, yeah. I mean, look at the crowd for the last game, the Brighton game.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about the crowd outside the ground before that,
yeah.
And the celebrations that they were doing. It was amazing.
It was wonderful to see that.
It's just, look, I want to see us win a couple of trophies, like, you know, I really do. And whether it's a League Cup, an FA Cup, a conference, whatever, I just want to see us in a final again, like, John. Look, we know, as for the club, I'm entering this as a fan, you know, like, we know for the club, the importance would actually be to finish in the top six for the next few years. But
really appreciate the questions, guys.
It's a great question. Welcome aboard, Ronan, man. I hope you become a regular contributor. We really appreciate it, man.
Cheers, Ronan.
Guys, before we finish tonight, do you have any further comments? I don't want to really go into the... You can. I don't really want to go into the speculation, the transfer speculation. I'm actually just... I know Rhino absolutely loves it. I really wait these days until I see the signings done.
I try to. I'm watching what people are writing, but at the moment, because of what Aston Villa have done this season and who we've got as a coach, speculation's just coming from pretty much everywhere, and some of it is utter rubbish, to be honest with you, and the sources and all this kind of stuff. So I'm just trying to keep. I'm not really posting about, you know, any of the signings that we possibly could get. Everyone's writing about who's going to be going where, and agents will be out there at the moment just feeding journalists stuff to try and get their players' moves and all this kind of stuff. So at the moment, to be honest, hate to be flat about it, but I'm just going to wait and see who comes through the door. And so far, delighted with the Tielemans signing.
Yeah, look, I mean, I love a bit of transfer speculation, but it's gone really over the top already this season, like, you know. So I'm going to, like, there's Villa podcasts I listen to on a regular basis, like, but I've actually taken a bit of a break since the season ended from listening to my regular podcast. Not because I love the podcast, but I'm actually listening to other crime ones and stuff at the moment just to get a break, because there's so much of the same stuff being regurgitated on Twitter.
I'm listening to Man City podcasts about all the accusations against them. That's a true crime podcast, isn't it?
You went to Twitter, and it's just people that are just reading off someone else's Twitter page and then becoming an in the know themselves, like, and they're just the same stuff being regurgitated. And it was nice there now, Tielemans. There was a bit of speculation in the build up, but it was nothing concrete and banked on. And I hope I hope a few more of them come true. But look, we all love a bit of speculation too. Yeah. It's just kind of a bit ridiculous now, the last couple of weeks, like, we're getting to the point where we're actually, if you've been on a holiday to Spain, you've been linked to us. Like, it's just, you know, it's just, it doesn't matter who you are. So, every player has been linked to Newcastle and Villa at the moment, you know.
So if Tielemans was our biggest signing of the transfer window, would you be happy, nonplussed, or disappointed?
Define biggest, though.
Well, okay, potentially the best of the lot.
That's a good question, Brad. No, I wouldn't. If everything underneath that becomes no, because I think midfield was probably our strongest position anyway that we've just strengthened. So No, I'd be a bit more disappointed. Like, if we don't go big on a striker, I'd be a bit disappointed, man.
Yeah, I agree with Spud. I think Tielemans is a great signing. And Emery himself has said that, you know, the majority of the squad that he's currently got are the basis for him moving forward. But, I mean, I think a striker is like a finisher, like a real finisher is needed at the club. And if Tielemans was, I guess, the biggest signing, if you like, for this season, I'd be a bit disappointed, to be honest with you. And I don't think he's going to be the biggest signing as well. I think there's going to be others coming in.
I'm going with you guys on that. And that makes me so excited because I already think Tielemans is absolute class signing.
I think Tielemans is going to be the cleverest signing of the window, though.
Yes.
Free transfer, what he brings.
I would like to know, and I know it's a whole heap of privacy reasons or privacy reasons. I would like to know what his wage structure is to really go, yep, that's the greatest signing. But a free is a very good thing.
Yeah. No, 100%. Yeah, there's obviously a lot of moving parts in it, but we know there was other clubs involved too. So I think it will be a clever signing to get over the board, you know?
Well, guys, we're going to put up that question. Would you, tomorrow, $10 million, you wake up in the morning, there's $10 million in your bank, but you can never watch nor listen to any Aston Villa stuff ever again. Would you take the $10 million or say no to it? I think it'd be one of the hardest decisions of our life. But I'm going to put that up, and I want you guys to be really honest. It's going to be a simple yes, no, not a maybe. It's a yes or a no. Guys, if that's it, it's the Aussie Villains podcast. Get us on Aussie Villains, capital A, capital V, on Twitter. Australian Fans of Villa on Facebook and our podcast group. And we'll speak. Well, wait, how do we get you, Tess, on Twitter with your expertise?
Oh, you can find me at Cuban_Knight on Twitter. Just to all those who posted questions, thank you very much. Keep posting the questions. I'd imagine that we'll be doing podcasts when new signings come in because there's no football on at the moment. But keep your questions coming in. If, you know, we get a good number of questions, I'm sure we can just jump on and have a quick session and answer some of those questions. And we're hoping for next season that some of you will actually come on and speak to us in person.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about you, Spud? How do we get you?
At Spud4685. Just, lads, thanks again for all the questions and stuff. But give us a follow. Retweet the podcast. It really helps us grow. And, decide if you're going to spend $10 million or go to Villa Games.
That's going up in about 2 seconds' time. Guys, the Aussie Villains podcast, we will speak to you more than likely next weekend. If there's any major signings or anything that come up in between, we'll do some emergency pods. We'll be with you throughout the postseason, into the preseason, into the new season. So we are the Aussie Villains podcast. Up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Guys, that was really a lot of fun again. Time gets away from us pretty quick.
I've got to run, actually, guys.
Go.
I'll speak to you guys soon.
We'll do it.
See you, mate.
Spud, you be good, mate. I'll catch you next week, buddy. I'll have this done probably tonight.
Yeah, take care, mate. Cheers for your time. See you, bud.
See you, buddy. Thanks for joining us for another Aussie Villains podcast. You can get us on Facebook and Twitter. Get us on Facebook at Australian Fans of Villa. Get us on Twitter at Aussie Villains, capital A, capital V. We post all our questions up on Twitter and Facebook, and your questions are included in this podcast. Also, if you're on Google, Anchor, Spotify, or Apple, if you could give us a review, it would be really, really appreciated. We're a small podcast, we're trying to grow, and we're going to be doing podcasts throughout the post and pre-season. This is the Aussie Villains Podcast.